tea and coffee and stuff. But yeah, moving straight on, I'd like to introduce our second speaker, second old timer, Angie, from Bethnal Green. And mentioned him already, actually, but Little Phil was the first old timer that you met. Mm-hmm. And your first meeting was St Clement's in Mile End. Mm-hmm. So over to you, Angie.
Thanks,
and yeah, if you can do 50 minutes, then that'll be great.
I'll do my best. I don't know. Thanks, Billy. Thanks for that. Hi there, I'm Angie. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Angie.
It's an honour to be here. It's always an honour to speak in AA, wherever. I'm a bit like Billy. I'm an any limbs kind of person. You know, I'm quite funny. My friend Harry's my friend, and sometimes we'll drive together to meetings, and my geography's a bit rubbish. And I'll go to Harry. Oh, they've asked me to do a chair. I've said, yeah, will you take me? I go, where is it? I go, Toddington. And then I go, we live in London. And then I say, oh yeah, somebody else asked me, it's in Bristol. That's all right, isn't it? Not too far. But here's the deal, like, it's just been shared here. It's my job. It's, you know, I don't really have a choice in it. It's not a choice. I love it. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I've loved what it's given me. I'm indebted to AA all my life, to Alcoholics Anonymous. Everything I have today, I wouldn't have if I hadn't have came here, and that is the bottom line, you know. That really is the bottom line. So if I'm asked, I'll go. And the truth is, I don't know why I'm sitting here. God, I'm meant to be here. God knows why I'm here. There's a reason why I'm sitting here today, absolutely, you know. And I love the stuff Billy says. And here's the thing, like, you know, the names are read out, like Wee Adams, my uncle there that passed away, and Archie Campbell, who's on there as well, and he's another one of the old timers for me, was Little Phil and Archie. And what happened to me, these people just made such a difference in my life. I was 22 when I got sober. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. I hated it. Honest to God, I hated it. I got sober in the East End. I used to go to a meeting on a Saturday night called the Fridge. I had like half a roof, freezing cold. Had a car of gas heater in the middle. The outside was smelly jumbo sale gear. And then the inside was my perception. And I just thought, it's old, 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 old Scottish and Irish men talking shite. Telling me, I'm so lucky to be here. So young, you're so young. You're young. You're young. She's young, 22, she's young. They're so impressed I was so young. And honestly, God, I wanted to run out the door. And the thing was, I'm a really fiery Scot. I'm still fiery. I still lead with my chin. It's my nature. And back then, I was really aggressive. I mean, like, really aggressive. And I remember saying to one of these guys, do you know what, pal? I know I'm young. Do you know what? You're really old. I actually met you nearly dead. So grateful, eh? Now, where would you go and say that to somebody who's trying to help you, and they would say, come back, keep coming back, you know, keep coming back, because they knew I wasn't well. And it's not about age, really, because you can come at whatever age, you know what I mean? Well, as Alcoholics Anonymous, everybody's welcome here. Sex, colour, creed, nationality, sexual, it doesn't matter, it really doesn't matter who you are, what you are, what you've done, you're welcome here, and you can get well, you can stop drinking. You know, for me, to newcomers, it's like when I first came, my hair, I don't need to live that way anymore. I don't have to live that way. There is a chance. There's a way out here. There's a way out in Alcoholics Anonymous. But I couldn't see the way out. And here's the truth for me, right? And this is my truth. See, if I could have really got in touch with how I felt back then, I would have sobbed underneath their shoes. I would have said to them, do you know what? Actually, I don't care. I'm young. I'm dying. I can't drink anymore. I cannot hike this drinking. I need help. You know, actually, your eyes are really shiny. Do you know what? I kind of believe what you're saying, because you've just spoken about stuff I've done drunk. So I know I'm in the right place. But this ego and this arrogance and this illness won't allow me to say, I give in. George, you know what? I'm jiggered, mate. I said, I'm done. I'm jiggered. Just okay. Whatever I have to do, just show me. But the illness won't let me do that. And back then, I didn't speak for my first year. My mate reckons I can talk for now. Scotland, England, Ireland, Wales and the rest of Europe. Do you know what I mean? So I do have a voice today. But I didn't have a voice back then, because I was full of alcoholism, full of fear, full of shame. I come from Glasgow. I suppose that's probably still obvious. Me and Harry were having a joke the day. It's St George. Happy St George's Day. It's St George's Day the day. Happy St George's Day. We were having a joke. And he was saying, oh, it's funny all these Scots, though, that live in, you know what I mean? I'm a Scot. I'm so proud of being Scottish. But I've been in London since 1974. London's been good to me, you know what I mean? I'm a bit of a softy southerner or something to call it. Actually, I'll never be that, really. So, yeah, so for me, for Glasgow, my first drink was in Glasgow. I'll just share a wee bit about my drinking. And as Billy says, you know, I don't need to teach you how to drink. It's like teaching your granny how to sell kegs. I know you'd think. But I always mention my drinking, you know what I mean? The family afterward talks about, for his sake, I must and will want to recount the horrors of my past. It talks about a mind and a body badly burned by alcohol and depression doesn't recover overnight, and nor does twisted thinking vanish in a twinkling. I like that, because that was mental. My thinking was really not well. And so my first drink was VP Wine or El Dorado wine. I moved off to some guy. I would always find the biggest guy. I'm 5 foot now. I was about 4 feet ten then. I'd find the biggest guy in the place to fight with him, because I wanted to get beat up, really. The Heads of Parliament talks about the three things you can be. You can be unconscious, self-conscious, or God-conscious. Today I'm God-conscious. Back then I was unconscious and self-conscious, is the truth. And that's some stuff that was good on with me. And I was always leading with my chin. I was always sticking my chin out. And I started fighting with this guy. I was 14 years of age and he punched me in the face. I'm talking man punch, bang, burst my nose, burst my lip. I mean, nearly knocked me out. I was a wee thing. And I got up and stuck my chin out to this guy and I told him, yeah, all of that, you know. Come on, hit me again. You think I'm scared of you? You know. So he hit me again. And that was all she wrote. You know what I mean? I blacked out, I collapsed. I came to the next day. I was indoors and hit my mum's. I was 14 years of age. I had a sore face that you wouldn't believe. I peed the bed. I was sick everywhere. And I was in blackout and I can't really quite remember. You know, I remember the punch. That was a bit. That was 14. And my last drink, I was 22. And all that time in between all the drinking I'd done, see, I always went out for one wee drink, but took one wee drunk every time. Do you know what I mean? I just wanted a wee drink. I just want a wee drink. You know what I mean? Just take the edge off. See, I wanted to get in the pub. There was a woman in the pub I used to know, Debbie Cavana. And Debbie would drink, like, champagne from them champagne glasses and stuff like that. And do you know what I mean? And then the next morning we'd be in the pub and she'd be in the pub, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed in the pub. I'd be jiggered. I was going to say another word there. I use the Scottish for that other word. Jiggered. I was totally jiggered the night. I couldn't get up the next morning. You know what I mean? Or if I'd been drinking the whole through the night, I'd just be out of the game, mate. You know what I mean? My tolerance to alcohol was rubbish, really. I could drink the under the table. I could drink everything. But it didn't take much and I was like, gone, you know? I used to get in the pub, in the toilet in the pub, and talk to myself in the mirror. Just to gauge where I was. And who does that? You know what I mean? Who has to gauge where they're at? Do you know what I mean? People just drink, don't they? And I used to look in the mirror to try, and what would happen is my bottom lip would go really numb, and I'd try and gauge where I was at, you know? And I thought, yeah, you're doing all right. And then the next thing that was, I couldn't remember nothing, do you know what I mean? The drink before my last drink was horrendous. This is horrible, it's really harsh, but it's my story, it's my truth. I was in a car, back of a car with some guy, sexual violence. And here's the thing, I always used to say, well, you know, it was against my will. It wasn't really against my will, but I was unconscious because I was in blackout. So I didn't have a choice. Like the book tells me that I lose the power of choice when drinking. It tells me I cannot orient my consciousness to humiliation and suffering of a week or months gone by and without defence against the next drink. So I had no choice when that happened to me because I'd picked up the first drink. And when I took the drink took me. So I went whatever the drink was and I did whatever situation that then would happen. You know what I mean? And that's what happened to me. And what happened to me when I came out of that blackout, you know, I just put on the big front, the big act. I was really terrified, is the truth. And here's the thing, I always have this kind of, or I used to have this kind of hard case, Glaswegian front. I'm fiery, but I'm not hard. I'm gentle. I'm really gentle. I'm really generous. I'm really kind. I've got a beautiful spirit in me. I really have. And I can say that because that's what I know about me now, you know. But back then I wasn't well, so I didn't know about that spirit that was inside. I just knew about fear, you know, so it was covered up with all the other stuff, you know what I mean? But I was terrified, and so I made a decision I wasn't going to drink again. But I didn't know I was an alcoholic. I didn't know I have this illness. I'd barely talked about the powerlessness. I didn't know I was powerless. I didn't know, you'll always drink again, Angie. If I don't get something to replace that, I will drink again. And I did. And it wasn't even a week or a month gone by. I went to this big fancy do. It was a company do. The company, it was a Christmas do, but it was mid-January because they'd missed the Christmas do for some reason. I can't even remember why that was, but here was a company do, mid-Jan. Big fancy hotel, big chandeliers. I could always look the part, and then like that advert, you know what I mean? Would you start your night off looking like this? I'd come back looking Chinese in my hair, black mascara, sobbing, do you know what I mean? Peed myself. That's kind of how I'd always end up. And I'm at this big fancy do, I'm not drinking because of what just happened days before and all of the above. And then the waiters, I always share it, the waiters were dressed like Adamant. My mate reckons, Angie, I don't know why you share that. Young people in the age don't even know who Adamant is. Google it, you don't know. Prince Charming, you know what I mean, all of that. But I used to wear this little outfit, that's my thing. And that's my memory of that drink and the head to be outfit. And they poured a glass of wine. And like it says in the big book, Amnesty 1935, and somebody poured a glass of wine for Bill. picked up the drink, all bits were off, back to the sanitarium, it was all the, and thank God for that, because that's what happened to me. The fancy waiter poured the wine. And it talks in the book about having another drink, you know, they cannot bring it into my consciousness. It talks about, you know, if I have another drink, what it says is that, my words are kind of like, if this is not a good idea to have this drink, it talks about it's usually replaced by some threadbare idea that this time will be different. And I have to say, that word threadbare is, what is that word? I would ring my mate up and go, God, a threadbare idea, this idea was so threadbare. And I'm, you know what I mean? However, I get it, how it was used, and it's really powerful, because when my sponsor read that to me, it made just, it was like, bang, I thought, God, my life's on a thread. That's how I took it. Whether I'll drink again or not, it's just like on a thread. And it talks about, with some threadbare idea this time will be different, but many of us pick up another drink without even having a thought, and that was me. And days after that crazy thing happened to me, I had a white wine in this big fancy hotel. Then I'm up on the table shoving the flowers up my dress, telling the man that owned the company, was all of that, you know, you can imagine. And I ended up across the back seat, and my sister was there, my twin, she's an alcoholic as well, and we used to have to toss up who was drinking. We two couldn't drink together, be fucking World War III. We had to toss up. And so she'd got me home, and I was in the back of this guy's car. And I used to say when I first got sober, it was a white Rolls Royce. I had delusions of grandeur. It was a nice car. It had white leather interior. I peed the white leather interior. Not a good look. Honestly, God, not a good look. And the guy had to open the door. I could remember, I was in blackout, but I remember bits. And the guy had to open the door so I could throw up. Now, obviously, didn't want me to throw up in his white leather interior. Do you know what I mean? And that was my last drink. So that was January the 14th, 1983. So that's my sobriety date. And the truth is, it's through the grace of God and Alcoholics Anonymous. I owe my life, I owe everything to God's grace and AA. That is the bottom line. So that was my last drink, and I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I went to the meeting in the fridge that I told you about, and then I went to St. Clement's. The meetings in East End then were like 100 people in the meetings, and were packed, mobbed, do you know what I mean? And I just judged everybody, you know, I judged you with your shoes, I just wasn't well. It's an inside job, this is an inside job, and I never had anything on the inside. I was driven by 100 forms of fear. I was terrified. I was terrified. I was so afraid. But I couldn't show you I was terrified and afraid. I was like, yeah, brand new, no worries, mate. Yeah, good, I'm all right. Yeah, fine, brand new. Yeah, I'm great. Yeah, no worries. You know what I mean? And that wasn't what was going on, but that was the front that I showed. And I came into AA. And I judged everything. And here's the truth as well. You know, they used to talk about God in the meetings. So I grew up with like a nice wee God. In Scotland, in Glasgow, they have this thing called the Band of Hope. And it's run by the Salvation Army, and it's like a Sunday school on a Wednesday night, and they have tambourines and all that, do you know what I mean? And it's bubbling in my soul, giving me grace for one step more. Like, the newcomers are now leaving, but that's how I grew up. So I grew up looking like a nice wee God. I had an uncle, Tommy. Well, Tommy was a mad alcoholic. His skin was kind of yellow. He was that bad with the drink. Never came out of the house, do you know what I mean? He was really jigging, my uncle Tommy. And he used to tell us Bible stories, you know, like about David and Goliath and Joseph with a coat of many colours. And so it was my kind of gaudy thing was lovely. It was all stories and stuff. So I kind of had a belief in a kind of a God thing. But when I come into AA, and they were talking about a higher power and a God of their understanding and a powerful God that can do anything, I'd be like thinking, oh, give me a break, you know. And I always share this. I remember going to a meeting and this lady shared. And she said, I had a gas bill for £82.50. And I went home and I prayed. And I prayed so hard. And I got up the next morning, and a cheque came through the door for £82.50. God paid my gas bill. I went home with my husband, my boyfriend then, and I said, oh, drop, you know what I mean? Shut up, you know? I went home with my boyfriend, and I said, I hate, God's paying that woman's gas bill. God paid her gas bill, the exact amount. I hate them. They're all grateful. They're all grateful, and they're all miracles. You know what I mean? But here's the deal, what I said to you in the beginning. My God, in my heart, I wanted to be grateful. I wanted to be the miracle that you used. Well, I get emotional. I really wanted that, but I was so sick. And this illness, the sickness of this illness is really, the recovery is amazing, but the sickness is really powerful. And it'll keep me stuck in the belief that I can't have this. It's not, you know, I'm not good enough for this stuff. And that's the truth for me. That's what it'll do, you know. So I am. So, and I remember after, you know, not speaking for about that year, I remember going to a meeting and some guy said, how are you doing? I used to say, it's my head, I'm off my head, my head's jiggered, it's my head, my head's gone. And he said, maybe you shouldn't look so happy about it. And it dawned on me, it hit me, and I thought, yeah, why am I here off my head? Why am I here like this? You know, because there's something here. There's this, what's here, is this is gold. This is the promised land. Sounds a bit whatever, but that's what I believe. This stuff will change your life. My God, you know, that's my experience. You know, that is my experience. But I have to be open to it. My heart has to be open to it. Do you know what I mean? And my heart wasn't open to it. But I remember, so I got this guy to help. Bernie McCabe was a guy that took me through the 12 steps. I had a lady as well. One sponsor wasn't enough for me, so I had two. I had Scottish Margaret and I had Bernie McCabe. I'd done 2 or 4 steps. I'd done a life story. Then I went through the book with Bernie. You know, and here's the thing, 1983 I got sober. And he took me through the book page by page, line by line. And he explained it to me. The book's really easy. The program is so simple. It's so easy. Just sit with somebody that knows and let them read with you, and God will do the work. That's my experience. I'm just a wee cog in a big wheel. You know, people who I help, you know, that's all I am. I just have to be the person that has to show them the thing, you know. But I remember when I started, I started to realise, oh, maybe I could get sober. Maybe I could get what they've got. Do you know what I mean? There started to be a bit of a shift. And I remember one time being in a minicab, got to the London Hospital meeting, and the minicab driver chatting me up. You all right, love? Where are you off to? Are you off to, you know, out for a drink? I said, I'm going to see my friends. I'd go to like the London Hospital, 100 people. I wouldn't say a word. I was so feared up because I had no sense of self. I didn't have what I've got today. I didn't have it, but I had the front. It's all shop front. You know what I mean? That's the easy bit. The front's really easy. The inside job, that's where I have to do the work. You know, and then the front gets even a million times better because you don't really care because you've got the inside going on. That's my truth. So I'm in this cab and he's like, how you doing? Oh, you off out for a drink? And I said to him, no, I'm an alcoholic. I said, I suffer from threefold illness, spiritual, mental and physical. He's a cab driver, you know what I mean? I think the guy must have thought, oh my God, why did I pick her up? Do you know what I mean? If I had a big book in my bag, he'd have been in trouble. Do you know what I mean? And I said, honest to God, mate, I'm an alcoholic. I cannot take one drink, I'm powerless. Starts off a phenomenal craving if I have a drink, don't give him all that. I said to him, listen, if I was to take a drink, I would pee your minicab. I mean, seriously, I don't think that's what they meant when they said to get sober, you know. But the truth was, when I look back on it, I was starting to get grateful. I was starting to get grateful that I don't have to drink. I was starting to get grateful that maybe I can change my life. I was starting to get grateful that maybe I could join in, maybe I could be part of this. You know what I mean? So I wanted, and then I wasn't afraid. I wanted to like shout it for the rooftops and just tell everybody. Do you want me to just tell everybody how amazing this is and how amazing that I felt about it? Do you know what I mean? That's my truth. That's what I wanted to do. And so I started doing the 12 steps, and that's the truth for me. And they are so simple. They're so easy, you know, because as I said, God does the work. I've just got to look at me. I've got to see what my stuff, what's my part. Because here's the thing, I blamed everybody all my life. And the truth is for me, growing up, my stepfather was a paedophile. You kind of changed that. I don't need to tell you what happened in that family because I'm sure it's obvious. So I can't change that, right? Here's the deal, right? Here's the deal, yeah? He was a paedophile. My mum was an alcoholic. She didn't help us, you know? I remember as a wee girl twice going to my mother, I didn't get the help. And the truth is, I understand that she needed him more than she could help us. I know, I get it. My truth for me is, and what AA's gave me, and what this programme, and A Day at a Time, and trying to work on it, is that I forgive, you know, and forgiveness will heal my soul. It has healed my soul, and that's my truth. My heart is open. It's really, here's the deal, right? I'm sober 34 years. If the best thing I've got coming here is that my heart's opened and I forgive all that and it doesn't hurt my life today, I'm overpaid. And the truth is, the stuff that happened back in the day for me and all of that, it's been so precious to me. Because that's stuff that I can give to somebody else. I can say, yeah, that happened to me. You know, and they don't have to do what I did or whatever. You know, so that's my truth. That's my truth. That the fact that my heart is healed and my heart is open. That doesn't hurt me today. I don't have to worry about that. Do you know what I mean? So the truth for me, AA saved my life. This is my life, you know. I started doing meetings. I got on the programme. I started trying to help other people. I was a bit of an evangelist, a bit, not quite like Harry, but I was a little bit, do you know what I mean? In my way of the highway. I was a little bit, do you know what I mean? Well, I wasn't as bad as my age. I was a bit of a, I remember some guy in the meeting, Scottish fella, Willie, and he was lovely, but he was really angry. And I said to him, you're not allowed to be angry. Angry is the luxury of the normal person. You're not allowed to be angry. You cannot be. He was fucking angry. He was really angry. And he went, Angie, I am one angry young man. I said, no, you're not allowed to be angry. You can be angry if he likes, do you know what I mean? So I kind of got it a bit wrong. Do you know what I mean? I can't tell anybody what they can or can't be and what's not right for them. Here's the deal, right? He's in my blend of my life. Your behaviour's about you, my reaction's about me. Always. Even if you tell me, if you come and tell me I'm a prat. Do you know what I mean? Even if you're not kind to me. Even if you've been mean to me, that's nothing to do with me. Like Billy was saying, that's your stuff. That's what's going on with you. Nothing. And what happens with that stuff? I'm free. I'm bulletproof. I'm not bulletproof, I mean, if I'm just, well, I can't be pretty bulletproof. Because I have a protection there. So people can't hurt me with their stuff. You know what I mean? And also I have to know, you know, a clear conscience has a soft pillow. I have a clear conscience today. My conscience is really clear. And I ain't saying I ain't done stuff, I have, but not today. My conscience is clear. You know, and mistakes, I remember phoning a bit year sober. This is what happened to me. Phoning a bit year sober in Alcoholics Anonymous, my first husband, John. And I loved John. I mean, I did trip over John drunk. I was drunk, he tripped over me. At my 16th birthday party, I was like, we'd been getting the party ready at 10 in the afternoon, do you know what I mean? And 10 in the morning, that was like 9 at night. And he arrived with his girlfriend. So I snogged the face off on his girlfriend standing there. That's not how you start a relationship. It's really not. That's not how you start. And then I married John, do you know what I mean? So, and God bless John, but he wasn't well if he married me, honest to God, because I really was jiggered. You would have run a mile. You'd have thought, no, I think I'll give that a mess. Thanks very much. I'll just go the other way. You know what I mean? But he was a good man, John. He really was a good man. But what happened? I married John. Phone about you're sober. And, no, I married John in my first year. They said, don't make any big decisions. So I thought, I'll just get married. You know what I mean? That's not that big, is it? So we got married. I had 6 bridesmaids, Rolls Royces, no money. Do you know what I mean? I remember lying in bed and thinking, I might try that higher power they're all talking about. You might add, because you don't have the money for all this and you keep booking. I wasn't well, do you know what I mean? And so I had a little pray. My first prayer to God, it wasn't like thy will be done. It was like I put my hands up and I said, okay, God, I know it's my fault. I've got myself in this situation, but I'm really worried about paying for this wedding. Like, can you help me? Now, I don't know if I thought like God was going to put like a few £1,000 on the table, do you know what I mean? Or what was going to happen. But I had a bit of faith. I did make a connection. And then I went to work the next day. I used to work in the betting shop in London, and I went to work, and this girl came in the job, and she said to me, what size are you shoes? And I said, I love shoes. I'm a size 4. And she went, I've got some shoes that might do you. You might not want them because it's your wedding day, but they're brand new. I said, bring them in. You might see these shoes. I couldn't have chosen better shoes myself. These white, they were amazing. I didn't thank God for the shoes, but I started running around the meeting sharing God gave me a white pair of shoes. I mean, I think people were running away from me, do you know what I mean? Because I was like, oh, I asked God and they gave me these shoes. I asked him for help and I got these shoes, you know? I'm thinking, oh my God, here she comes, walk the other way, do you know what I mean? So that was kind of my first prayers, do you know what I mean? That's the truth, that was my first prayers. But what happened when I was 4 years sober, John, my husband, so I'd been with John 12 years, I was with John. He had an affair with his cousin. Yeah, that's not in the big book. That's not anywhere in the literature. And it was really painful. And here's the deal. I was 4.5 years sober. I had the 12 steps. I had a God. I was helping people. I'm in the middle of the bed in Alcoholics Anonymous, but I was really in pain. It was really painful. It really hurt me. It was really painful. Back then, I didn't understand that actions was about him. So I took it all personal. See, that's what I've done in my life. I took it all personal. So I took it all personal that I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough wife, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not this enough, I'm not that enough. And obviously this cousin he's having an affair with, she's got all of that. And it wasn't about any of that, it was about whatever it was about with them too. It wasn't nothing to do with me. But I didn't get that then, so it was really painful. So I'd be in meetings, riding a walk, go to the Chelsea meetings, crying. just cry my eyes out, do you know what I mean? Actually, I mean, I never forgot to mention Archie, because he was a... Well, actually, when I first got sober, I used to sit in the meetings in Chelsea, and I'd go to the Chelsea Bun, and I was really afraid. I just didn't think I could get sober. I didn't think I could have what they have. I knew God would help all you people, because you just seem like really nice people, do you know what I mean? I knew that, but I just didn't think he would help me. And I used to go to the Chelsea Burn with Archie, and Archie used to buy me tea. And I always share this in my chairs, you know, and he'd be buying me tea, and I'd be looking at the clock, and I'd be thinking to myself, well, I've been here for about 40 minutes, and this guy's not yet. Yeah, because I thought, well, he's buying me tea, so he's looking for something. You know what I mean? Yeah, well, I'll just see what his game is. And the reason that's what I thought and felt, because back then, if I was buying you tea, I'd be looking for something. I'd have took it and gone, and you wouldn't even have known. So it's all transference. If I'm thinking this stuff for you, it's because that's what's going on with me. You know, it really is. See, today when I think somebody, I try and work out what's going on with me. It's all about me, you know. And I used to be looking at the clock and think, oh my God, it's an hour now. Yeah, I thought this guy's an idiot. Do you know what I mean? You know, what's his game? And his game wasn't, what was going on with him was AA. And he was buying me time. You know, and I always share it with Archie, right? When I sit in the Chelsea Bun with Archie, I always get emotional. When I was sitting in the Chelsea Bun with Archie, I was skint. I didn't have anything. Like, I didn't have God. I had God because I was there. But I didn't believe I wanted this, but I didn't believe I could get it. You know, so I never had God, the big book, the sponsor. You know, the stuff that I thought, well, they've all got that, so that's where I didn't have that. But he was still buying me tea. He was still talking to me. He was still listening, actually. He didn't do much talking because I never shut up. You know what I mean? But he was just listening. So the truth is, for me, he saved my life, actually. Because he bought me time. So he bought me time, and he bought me time until I could become teachable. He bought me time so I could then go to Bern and say, you know what, I need to do these steps. I need to get well. Yeah. So that's what's here now, Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. And that's why for me, you know, what happened to me, so for a bit, you're sober, John had the affair, I was devastated, and I ended up by myself on my own, I'd never been on my own, I was really afraid, I was codependent, I was hooked, I couldn't live with myself, do you know what I mean, I didn't know all that then, and he had the affair, for a bit, you're sober, then this is the mistakes I've made as well, when I was 6 years sober, I'd get involved with a guy in Alcoholics Anonymous, and when I first used to share, I used to say he hadn't quite left his wife. Now, what happened to me? I made a choice to get involved with someone who was 10 months sober and married. I know, you see, there you go. That's who I am. They're the choices I made based on self. You know, make decisions on self that later put me in a position to be hurt. All day long, mate. All day long. And then I'll blame you. Well, if he hadn't have done if he hadn't have said, and if she hadn't... Yeah, and that's what happens sometimes in AA for me. Men get a really bad press. I've got to say to sponsors that I've got, do you know what, babes, knows a full sentence. No one can take anything you don't give them. Nobody. Nobody. And I now know that today. You know, but I didn't know it back then. So there's the mistakes I made getting involved with Phil. And here's the deal, you know, I can't change anything I've done in my life. If I could change that, I would change that. If I could go back and rejig that so I didn't hurt his wife and didn't hurt him, because that really hurt him. He got drunk, probably maybe a year later. But here's the truth for me. Did I make Phil pick up a drink? I don't know. Here's the deal. I didn't help his recovery. I can't help someone's recovery if that happened. Because the truth is, for me, when that stuff goes on, for me, it's only for me, I go two ways. When that stuff goes on, I'm not going to look for a higher power or pray to God or help somebody I don't have to, because I got this. So all my energy will get into that. I don't have to go there. So I understand. And I understand the same about relationships. You know, don't get... Oh, do you know what? I sometimes say get in a relationship because it's the only thing that will help you find God. Because you'll be so jiggered, you'll need to pray. Do you know what I mean? You'll be such a mess. You'll be such a mess, you'll have to pray, you know. So I've made every mistake in the book. That's my truth, you know what I mean? You know, I please God today. We'll talk about when I make... I don't know what I'll do. Who knows? I don't know what's going to happen in the next 10 minutes, really, do you know what I mean? So I don't know. But I try my best today, like Billy said, I try my best today not to hurt people, do you know what I mean? I try my best to see the good in people. And I sponsor loads of people as well. Sometimes, here's the thing as well, sometimes with sponsees, like I had a couple of people, because I'm 34 years sober, I don't know what they're thinking, but sometimes it's a bit like, thinking like, well, like this lady came to me and she'd done the 12 steps and the sponsor had to move, something like that. And I said, I'll help her. And I was like, well, I don't even take her through the 12 steps. She has some, she understands it, she's got knowledge of it, she can practice it. And she said to me, no, I want to do them with you. And I said, but you've done them, you've got. And she said, no, but I want to do them with you. And I said, listen, I don't have a special fucking 12 steps. I don't have something different that everybody else has got. The books, the steps, that's what it is. I'm just a wee thick person in there. So I says to her, so it's kind of like sometimes they maybe think that I'm just an alcoholic. I'm just a human being. And I've stayed sober 34 years through God's grace and AA. And I always say, God can move mountains, but I need to bring a shovel. Do you know what I mean? I have to bring the shovel. I remember hearing this guy share once. I loved it. Sometimes I share and people just go blank, but I liked it. And he was talking about, there was this farmer, and the farmer's farm was in the right, the newcomers are definitely leaving now, the farmer's farm was in the right mess. And then one day the farmer thinks, I've got to sort this out. So he gets up every day and starts working on the farm. Do you know what I mean? Puts the effort and does, I don't know, what do farmers do? Plough the fields and all that and does all these bits. And this man of cloth was walking past his farm a wee while later and he calls him over and he said, I've been watching you. He said, your farm was in such a mess and it looks amazing now, you know, the sun was shining on the farm. And he said, and I have to say that you and God have done an amazing job on that farm. And the farmer says, yeah, well, you want to see it when God had it by himself. So God can't do this by himself. I have to work with God. I can't just go, okay, thy will be done. Yeah, what is it? You know, I've got to put the work in, you know. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I love it. I did a chair once, you know, and this lady came back from the floor and she said, we were having a chat about you, my friend and I, the other day. So obviously they were gossiping about me, but that's all right, you know what I mean? Whatever. She said, and we were saying, you know, that Angie, that Angie, she's kind of like she's kind of like on a mission for AA, isn't she? You know what I mean? And when she shared it, it was a big meeting. And my pride was a little bit, do you know what I mean? And I was like, oh God, you know. And then I just stopped and I just thought, but it's true, Angie. I am on a mission for AA. This is my mission, my life. I was talking to Billy earlier. I live alone. I'm single. I've been single 9 years, nearly 10 years maybe now. And the thing is for me, so I've got a lot of time. I don't have a partner. I don't have a boyfriend and a partner. I've got no children. Do you know what I mean? So I have a lot of time to try and give to try and help people. And that is what, now don't get me wrong, it doesn't matter how it's taken. Some people take things wrong when I share and I just talk for me, you know. I'd love to be in love. God, I'd love it. Just to share my life with somebody, you know what I mean? Like, run down the beach, what's it the day, run down the beach and all that. Do you know what I mean?
Not my age.
Not your age. You know what I mean? Just,
try it, Bill.
But do you know what I mean? You know them ideas of romance. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, that's what I mean. Those ideas of romance and all of that, you know. What's that? But the truth is, I'm really happy with my lot. I'm really content with my life. I love myself. You know, I can look in the mirror and say, Andrew, you're a good woman, mate. You know what I mean? I don't get lonely. Not really. I might get the odd time and I think, do you know like when the long weekend comes or something? Do you know what I mean? I think, oh, it'd be nice to go and be with someone, to be with a boyfriend, be with a partner. Sometimes I do that. I've had two husbands, 12 years, and then I was with Frank for 15 years. So it's kind of like I'm giving my CV, so I can do that. Do you know what I mean? Well, I can put it on my CV, you know what I mean? He's fucking rubbish, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? But that's my experience, that's my truth. And here's the thing about being single, and I'll make a joke with this, right? People come to me, right? It's usually women. And recovering, and I've maybe not seen them for a long while, and the first thing they ask me, honest to God, they don't say, where are you living, how are you doing, what are you working, the first thing they say to me is, still single, honest to God. And I go, yeah, and then I go to talk about something else, and they make this face, honest to God, and they go, oh. And then they kind of tilt their head a little bit. It's like I've got like a fucking, don't like a, there's no swearing, sorry, swearing allergy. It's like I've got some kind of disease or something, do you know what I mean, some kind of illness. They kind of put their head to the side, they go, oh, and then they look at the person next to them to give us a bit of support, do you know what I mean? And I'm like, I'm all right. I don't think they believe I'm all right, but I know I'm all right, and that's all that really matters, do you know what I mean? And then when I walk away, they usually go, well, good luck. Here's the deal, guys, right? Here's the deal. See if the love of my life walked in the meeting this second. I wouldn't even finish this chair. Mick's gone to me. I won't even finish this chair. I'd be like, okay, I'm going, he's here. Do you know what I mean? So I'm not trying to say I'm one of these. And I'm not a feminist, of it. Nothing wrong with feminists if you are, but ladies. Nothing wrong with that, do you know what I mean? There ain't. There's not. But I'm not. I'm really not. I love men. I'm one of these people that thinks a man, I think a man should come and love me. Do you know what I mean? And open the door for me. What do you say? That's the truth. That's what I believe. That's what I believe a man should do for me. I'm an old-fashioned traditionalist woman. I'm just an old romantic. Do you know what I mean? So that's what. Maybe that's why I'm still on my own, because there's no one out there keep fucking coming open the door. Do you know what I mean? But that's anyway. I don't know why I sidetracked on you all that. Oh yes, I was talking about the affair when I saw George. So that was really painful when I was 6 years sober, and he had hit 4.5 years. Then I get involved with Phil. Not good, really, really not good. And the truth is, if I could change that and make that different, I would, you know, because that really, and here's the truth, what happened with that situation, the choice I made, that affected his recovery without a shadow of a doubt. Without a shadow of a doubt, that affected his recovery. You know, is he all right? He had a sponsor up in Chelsea, he was going to his meetings, he was in his program. I did not help. And here's what happened with that, you know. I remember bumping into Phil Perry, and it was like, oh, that's the second time. It was like one of the comic convention years ago, and I saw him, and I thought, I'm going to make amends. I said, that's my chance, I'm going to make amends. And then what happened, he was someone else, Tony Carver, they were all there, and so it didn't happen. And then about a year later, I was in Laura Ashley in the West End, and I turned around, who's standing in Laura Ashley but Phil? You wouldn't find a guy in Laura Ashley, not really. Do you know what I mean? But that's how God works it out. He was getting something, I think, for his girlfriend. He's like, I'm not sure. And I made the amend. And he was like, Angie, not a chance. And I said, listen, I have to make this amend to you, because that wasn't right what I did. And he was like, Angie, you know what? But I'll do it. And we all get, and that's what happens, isn't it? We all get involved, and that happens, you know. But I just said, no, I have to clear this. I have to make this right. So that's what I have to do for myself today. Do you know what I mean? I have to make things right. I have to be able to soft, you know, the clear conscience, the soft pillar. I have to be able to make it right. I'm going to share, Billy was talking about the World Convention, and when he shared it, I just had a memory. Now, I think it was, Billy and I shared it Brighton years ago, and I think that was the weekend, so I was at the Brighton Convention, I got to share with Billy, which was great. How blessed am I get to come here and be with Billy? These are friends, and I've known these guys, you know what I mean? That's the thing I was talking about, men that get bad press in Alcoholics Anonymous. There's some amazing men in Alcoholics Anonymous. You can trust them with your life. Well, that's my experience. Amazing, you know, we're just all human beings here, nobody's perfect, you know. 13 stepping, yeah, I did it. I mean, Phil, that was me, you know. And it's not just men that do a 13, anyway, I'm not even going to go down that road, but the truth is, so we're just all, there's nobody perfect here in AA, do you know what I mean? All I can look at is what I'm doing, do you know what I mean? What's going on with me? The World Convention that Billy was talking about, so I went to the Brighton Convention a lot of years ago, I just lost my job, I was a bit broke. I thought, oh, I'll just go. I love conventions, I do. I love getting dressed up and going to the dance, and I love all that. So I go to the convention, and they have a raffle. And so a pound raffle ticket, okay? And it's one of them raffles where they had, like, on the stage, like, you know, when the numbers come up, like the lottery, the numbers, it wasn't just like your usual raffle ticket. So I got my friend, and I was talking about this morning, actually, my friend Malcolm and my friend Brian, and we're at the big dinner dance. And the numbers are coming out, and I used to wear glasses, and I didn't have my glasses, and I said to him, can you just check my numbers? And so they're going, yeah, so I'm doing 10 numbers. They went, Andrew, you've won. I thought, yeah, I'm not going to fall for that old trick, do you know what I mean? You know, yeah, I bet, yeah, all right, mate, you know them too. And Brian went, Andrew, he's not kidding you, you've won. Anyways, so I won a trip to Toronto for 2 weeks, for two people, a trip to Niagara Falls, a trip to Akron. But so I'm not teaching my granny how to sell cakes, we're all first started. For two people for £1. So I was running about the convention. I was like, who needs a job with firepower like mine? Do you know what I mean? I'm off to Toronto. Do you know what I mean? Put a pound. I mean, you can. I wish to do it again, actually. Come God. Cause like, do you know what I mean? You couldn't have worked out it would be any better if you tried, could you, really, you know? So that God did that. So God will do everything. I believe in my life, in my heart, whatever's meant for me will be put right in front of me. I've just got to turn up. I've got to do my stuff. my staff, like Billy says, I try and help people, take people through, try and help them as best I can, try and support them. I'm not their mums, I can't take care of them, I'm not responsible for them, but I can show them what I did. Here's the thing, see, when my husband and I finished there, 9 years ago, me and Frank, maybe a bit longer, and this is how it helped me, but I ended up in a hostel in Brick Lane, and this hostel wasn't like, it wasn't a recovery hostel. You know, it was women in the hostel who were really not well. So the women in the hostel were like alcoholics, crack addicts, heroin addicts, prostitutes, not well, really not well. And I was in there, sleeping in a plastic mattress. So I was probably about 25 years sober then, or 26, whatever it was, in this hostel. You know, thinking, really, God? I mean, God, really? This, I mean, give me a break, drop me out, as English Cockney say. And I'm in this hostel, and one day I'm just doing my thing. You know, looking like the Queen of Sheba, do you know what I mean? And I'm like, you know, I'm all right to get myself nice. You know what I mean? It was tough, and it really wasn't for the faint-hearted, that place. And I'm a strong woman. I'm a strong woman. I'm quite powerful woman, I think. But I'm just a human being, you know. And I can get just as vulnerable as the next person underneath it all, you know. And then what happened in that hostel, I got really afraid. I didn't lose God. God was always there, but I was praying. And I was praying this night. And my pride was really in of, oh my God, how did this end up happening to me? And I was crying, and I was saying to God, you know, just please help me. Just help me trust you, God. Help me trust you. This will be okay. You know, I'm really afraid. Just help me trust you. And I went to a meeting the next day, and there was a wee girl in the meeting. And I do say about sponsor, but I don't say who I sponsor, whatever. Maybe you'll come up to me and they go, oh, I've got 10 sponsees. I say, really, we'll get another 10. Do you know what I mean? Because this is about, it's not about... Do you know what I mean? I don't get when people boast. I don't get it. But for this situation, this wee girl asked me, she came up to me after the meeting and she said, are you in Hopetown Hostel? And I said, I am. She said, she was 5 days sober. So I'm in Hopetown Hostel. I said, really? This is how God works this out. My window was here, and her window was, I could have touched her from my window. That's how close this wee girl was to me, who started trying to get sober. So I tried to help her. And what I share is, you know, a few days later, I'm sitting on this blue plastic mattress with this wee girl reading the book, right? And not for a second did I suddenly feel like I was fucking floating. Do you know what I mean? Not for a second did I start thinking, oh, this mattress is beautiful. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Or, like, come on, girls, come in and have a cuppa. Oh, this is just amazing. I'm trudging the road. Do you know what I mean? You know, fucking me. God bless you and keep you until then. I wasn't thinking any of that. I was still afraid. Here's the deal, here's how this works, right? My heart was really open. And what was going on inside me, I was getting emotional, was, Angie, help this wee girl. Doesn't matter where you're living. Doesn't matter how afraid you are. Doesn't matter you think you ain't good enough because you ain't got a husband, blah, 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 blah. All that crap. Doesn't matter. What matters, Angie, is you've got something she doesn't have. You have something, and see, what you have is really powerful. You have to get to it, yeah? You have to give her a chance. You have to read. So we're reading, and the truth is, right, that wee girl, Amelia, she's lovely. She didn't get sober then, because I remember about a month later coming the lift to the place, and she was in the lift drunk, pretending to me she was all right. God bless her, Charlie. And then, you know. So the truth is, at that time when I was reading with her, she didn't get sober. But do you know what? I stayed sober. And then it shifted for me. And what it shifted for me was, this is not my shout. This is God's shout. It's not the deal. Here's the deal for me. It's about God's plan for me. So I just have what's in front of me. And I'll make choices. I was in the hostel. It was a decision based on self. I was in the hostel. So it's all about choices that I make. Do you know what I mean? So today I try and make good choices for myself. I just try my best. I'm not perfect. You know, like I say, I made every mistake in the book. I've made mistakes that are not even in the book. Do you know what I mean? I've made them. So back to the Royal Convention. So I won the trip at the Royal Convention, right? So it was true. I did win the trip. So I won that big, massive trip, yeah? So I went to Toronto on this trip. It was amazing. I was with Robert Nelson. Billy Tom. I was with Robert and Stevie Smith and Charlie Boyle and loads of them, loads of the gang. And like he was saying, Billy was saying, the first meeting was 80,000 alcoholics in this auditorium thing. You know what I mean? Unbelievable. But what happened, the hotel we were staying in, a few days before, there's a guy, Kevin from South London, and what happened when we went on this trip, they book this trip every 5 years. So there's like about 40 of them go on the trip. So they pay the money up, they book it every 5 years. So what happened is he'd asked the lady that they booked the trip from, could they give? And so they gave Kevin two tickets because they'd booked up so many. He could have kept them tickets, or he could have sold them, couldn't he? I guess, I don't know. Anyway, it's another thing. But he put the trips in the raffle, so I won the trip, yeah? So within that trip, we went to Akron, where it all started, and we went to saw Dr. Bob's house, and then we went to the grave. And then we went to where it all started with Bill, where Bill made the phone call. You know what I mean? It's a treatment centre now in Akron. It was the hotel where he made the, it's in the book, I know you know, but in the phone call. And so we ended up there. So here's what happened, right? Like Bill just said earlier, like, I'm not responsible for the thoughts in my head. I'm just responsible for my actions. Because I still get some crazy thoughts, you know, but I just like quite quickly, do you know what I mean? So I don't know what's coming in there. I don't put it there. Yeah, but it's how I deal with it. So I'm on this bus with all these people going up to Akron, you know what I mean, to go to the Mayflower Centre to see the thing. And everybody on the bus is like going, oh my God, the phone, Bill W made the phone call, and they're going to go and see the phone and all of that. You know, my head was thinking, shut up. Just shut up. It's just a phone. It's a phone in the wall. Do you know what I mean? Just give me a break. My God, God, this is what my brain was saying. I'm trying to know you listen to it, but that's what it was saying. When I got in the place, let me tell you, I was like a basket case. I was like, oh my God, take a picture of me on the phone. Oh my God. Do you know what I mean? Oh my God, no W, you made the call, save my life. You know what I mean? I just like, you know what I mean? I lost the plot. I lost the plot. And the truth is, the reason I lost the plot, because never mind what's going on in my head. In my heart, that's who I am. I'm a woman that is so grateful. So grateful Bill W made the call. So grateful Bill and Bob and God got all this stuff so that we can all sit here today, so that Billy can drive 3 hours and Harry and I came to London yesterday. Do you know what I mean? That's what it's about. That's what it's about. So I hope I never ever forget that's what I've learned. That's my legacy. That's what I'm left with. I'm left with, you know. So for me, that's why I have to be available. That's why I have to be available to try it. And you know what, guys? I'm not perfect. I don't always get it right. I don't always get it right with sponsees. I don't always get it right with people. You know what I mean? But what I try and do myself, I try and do my best. There's something happened at the minute where it doesn't even really matter. It was just a friend of mine that I'm not speaking to now, and that's fine. And sort of a couple of things happened the other day, and it troubled me. It really troubled me. So I had to look at what's going on with me. You know, I had to look at, well, why did I make that choice and what that's about? And the choice is okay for me. It's all right. But it doesn't mean to say that I don't feel stuff and I don't. Do you know what I mean? I'm just a human being. But I love it. Honest to God. See, if you're new, just hang on to your chair because you're in for a ride that you're never going to believe me. I'm telling you, this is the best thing in God's earth. It really is. And here's the deal for me. And it's all about one alcoholic talking to another. It talks in the book at the beginning, doesn't it? Somewhere recovery begins with one alcoholic talking to another. And this happens in this world all the time, 24/7. One alcoholic talking to another. I've got a wee girl I'm helping at the minute. She's amazing. I mean, do you know what I love in this thing? When I get to take people, read the book and stuff, and then they ring me. Like, I was helping her in some coffin, so, and then she rang me, like she had to step, to do their step. She's got a list, do you know what I mean? And then she rang me up, and she just was in shock, because there was this person on the list, and she said, I'll never ever see them. I've never seen them for like, yeah. And she rings me up 2 days later, and she goes, that person sent me an email. I said, what? She went, they sent me an email. What's to do with someone else? And the email come to me. And what happens to me is my heart fills up. And I have a big smile on my face. And inside I'm smiling. I think, God's still got it covered, mate. God's got it all covered. Got it all covered. I just have to front up, do my best. And it doesn't mean that life's going to be perfect. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean that I've got, like I shared earlier, I don't kind of believe in the knight in shining. I've got my own sword. Maybe that's why I'm still on my own. Do you know what I mean? I don't believe he's going to come and save me. It's me and God. I've got to save myself. Do you know what I mean? But the thing is, I don't maybe have that. I maybe don't have the £1 million job or the stuff. But you know what I have? I've got myself. Yeah, I always share. You meet so many people when you join Alcoholics Anonymous, if you stay here and you don't drink, the best person you'll ever meet in your life is yourself. That's the best person I've ever met is myself. That's why I'm okay with myself. Because I'm all right with me, do you know what I mean? And I live in my wee flat. I'm not in the hostel now. 4 years ago, I got a flat. I did them hostels for 4 years. Hard yard. Hard yard. And I've got my wee flat. And here's the thing with the hostel. I could have gone and maybe rented a room in someone's house in London and probably paid their mortgage to stay in a room. Yeah, so it's about choices. But I just thought, I'm not doing that, not a chance, mate. Not a chance am I doing that. I'm going to tough this out to try and take care of myself. And I remember I was at a Chelsea meeting then in Pont Street, and I was talking to the fella, an Irish fella, a lovely guy, and he was chatting away, and he said, you're still in that hostel? I went, oh, no, it's hard, Jordan. I said, that's tough. And he said, and there's big houses in Chelsea, isn't it? Beautiful, like Pont Street. You see these houses there? And he said to me, you know what you should do? You should meet a guy that lives in one of these houses here, and look at them, there's really big, rich houses. He'll look after you. And I said, listen, babe, I could probably get a man in a house there, possibly. Yeah. I said, but here's the thing. What happens if it didn't work out? I'm still homeless. I'm not here to depend on anybody. I've got to do this thing for myself. Do you know what I mean? So me and God. So now I have my little flat. This is what God's given me. He's given me a flat on the canal. I'm in London. My flat, you wouldn't think I was in London. I'm right at the back. I'm on a canal. I mean, I'm not really like a... I've swans. I'm not a swan person. So here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. I'm there 4 years, right? I walk along the canal in the morning, and I'm not a swan person. I now put photos on Facebook, right? I met this lovely chap this morning, a fucking swan. I took a picture of the swan. I met this lovely chap this morning. Look at him, how lovely. Do you know what I mean? So that's where I live. So I live on the canal with the swans. I've got a roof garden bigger than the flat. Do you know what I mean? I live alone. I'm all right with that. I love myself. I love my own space. I love my own time. I have God, right? I've got God. So I know that God, this is all God's will for me. Do you know what I mean? And I just stick with that. Whatever happens, it's meant. And it might not happen what I think. Do you know what I mean? Or what I would like, or how that, you know? And I don't always go in, oh, well, that will be done. That's okay. I can get pissed off, or I can get annoyed, or I can get upset. You know, but I've got the tools here, and I've got the tools, and I can... The buck stops here. Buck stops. So what I do now is I try not saying it too long because I'm wasting my life. So well, what I give my energy to, you know? So I try and give, like maybe Billy's talking about only remembering the good stuff. So I try and just give my energy to the good stuff. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, I'm going to shut up now as well, but I don't know how long have I spent.
50 minutes.
50? Really? Yeah? I've done 50 minutes. Go, Andrew.
Thank you, Angie. Yeah, that's great. Really enjoyed that. We're going to have a break now, are we? I think.
Yeah, we need a break.
For lunch. Could we practice tradition 7 before lunch? We're self-supporting and all proceeds go to next year's event. If you can't, don't worry. And we'll probably finish a little bit earlier than due, so we'll be back at 1 o'clock. Hey? Right, okay. Well,
what's that?
It's 1:30.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so back at 1:30. That's okay. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Jules.
No. And if we could close the meeting, please, all saying the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Where's the pot?